Welcome to this new detailed edition of the BayPay Forum Blockchain News. My name is Cindy and today is July 29, 2020. This edition is brought to you by PayCademy, the first business academy to learn payments and fintech. If you have some news in payments and fintech, send it to us at press@baypayforum.com and we will do our best to include your news. In this edition, we will talk about carbon credits have a double spend problem. This Microsoft-backed project is trying to fix it. How the EEA made Ethereum palatable to big business. First mover, crypto traders greedy as Goldman warns on dollar. 605 days later, how our coins got the SEC go ahead as an Ethereum traded treasuries fund. Now let's get started. Carbon credits have a double spend problem. This Microsoft-backed project is trying to fix it. The Interwork Alliance IWA, a tech-agnostic token standardization initiative that grew out of the Enterprise Ethereum Alliance, is working on blockchain tools to prevent the double spending of carbon credits. Carbon accounting works by allowing countries or corporate entities to pay for their carbon-emitting sins, thus creating a market mechanism to drive industry toward greener processes. But there's a problem. There's no way right now for you to determine that a tree hasn't been sold 100 times over, said Microsoft blockchain architect and IWA chairman Marley Gray. The Microsoft-backed IWA sustainability group is stepping in with a tokenization standard that aims to bring transparency to carbon accounting. Large companies can offset their carbon emissions by participating in and funding environmentally friendly projects. However, there is a distinct lack of verified carbon offsetting credits, said Gray. There are not enough verified as the keyword carbon offset credits in the world today just to satisfy Microsoft's needs for this year, said Gray. That was an eye-opener. Every major corporate is coming out with these big sustainability goals, so we have to do something dramatic to improve the supply of verified offsets. IWA solution. The IWA Sustainability Working Group includes Accenture, Climate Chain Coalition, Digital Asset, NASDAQ, Neo Global Development, R3, Six Digital Exchange, SDX, Expansive and others. The group will create a standardized framework for tokenization, starting with voluntary carbon offsetting, and will then expand its focus to regulated markets in the near future. This is not a new problem and numerous technologists have tried to come up with ways to make carbon accounting more rigorous, including using blockchains. You had a lot of startups go after these spaces, and everyone's sort of building these walled gardens that don't match the buyer's requirements, said Gray. So we decided to back the bus up, and get everyone to agree on what a carbon credit is, how it's structured and how we should then tokenize that to solve our double spend credit problem. The term carbon credit has become overloaded, said Gray. Part of the IWA's mission is to break down the different types of carbon credit for tokenization, such as EU-issued carbon credits traded on regulated markets. Carbon offsets, on the other hand, can be either derived from avoiding emissions by, for instance, using renewable energy, or by removing emissions via projects that plant trees. Illustrating the problem, these two variants are measured differently and priced differently, said Gray. When it comes to verifying carbon offsetting projects, firms don't care whether there's a blockchain underlying the solution, they just want to be sure it's trusted and transferable, Gray added. We have to be able to define a project so that buyers of carbon credits can find out the project details and see the provenance of that carbon credit and its worthiness, he said. How the EEA made Ethereum palatable to big business. Ethereum has attracted the attention of large companies for almost as long as it has been around. But it wasn't until early 2017 that a formal business-focused consortium came into being, the Enterprise Ethereum Alliance, EEA. The EEA created a concerted effort to get large corporates and tech providers on the same page when implementing private, or permissioned, versions of Ethereum technology. Thereafter, the EEA became a kind of standards organization for blockchain business, with one eye on a future state when the public blockchain might morph together with private implementations. After all, company intranets gradually became part of the internet, or so blockchain believers will tell you. Back in February 2017 when the EEA launched, Julio Fora, who was head of blockchain at Banco Santander at the time, volunteered to become EEA founding chairman, a position he held until July 2018. A few of us just got together to try to make the technology a little bit more suitable for enterprise uses, recalls Fora, now the CEO of blockchain-based payments company Adhara. We were all doing our own rudimentary attempts to use the technology. But it wasn't conceived for enterprise use, rather for trustless and public use, and was very far from being ready. Along came Quorum. Megabank JP Morgan Chase had released its open-source Ethereum-based blockchain client, Quorum, towards the end of 2016. The bank's privacy-centric take on Ethereum became a powerful driver for enterprise adoption, said Fora. Quorum came along and it was a blessing, he said, because it made doing permissioned networks with a consensus algorithm much easier. Suddenly performance started to go up. I remember configuring networks myself with thousands of transactions per second, so it was very exciting. No matter what enterprise platforms look like in 15 years, there will be pieces that evolved from industry COOPETITION conversations that never would have happened otherwise. JP Morgan was one of the founding members of the EEA, a group of 30 or so companies that included Microsoft, Santander, Consensus, CME Group and Intel. A further 86 members were announced a couple of months later at CoinDesk's 2017 Consensus event. The EEA inspired huge organizations to think about solving long-bemoaned data coordination challenges in new ways, said Amber Balde, CEO of Ethereum-based startup Clovier. No matter what enterprise platforms look like in 15 years, there will be pieces that evolved from industry coopetition conversations that never would have happened otherwise. Balde, who led the team at JPM that built Quorum, said that while there's still a long way to go, enterprises are building more creative systems for decentralized data sharing than ever before. The EEA will continue to shape core technologies that move tons of records and crypto assets, and most consumers will continue to know nothing about any of it, and that is success, she said. After the early blockchain hype, which saw almost every decent-sized bank either joining a consortium or announcing a proof of concept, the enterprise distributed ledger technology, DLT, space seems to have fallen into what Gartner calls the trough of disillusionment. Call it an inevitable phase in the life cycle of new and potentially transformative technologies. If you ask the banks and enterprise teams involved in blockchain work what's happening, most will tell you it's simply been a case of keeping their heads down and building. Behind the scenes, the EEA has been working hard on standards work, said York E. Rhodes III, a program manager on Microsoft Azure's blockchain team. There has been a tremendous amount of specification work going on, said Rhodes. We are building on a foundation of not only 5 years of Ethereum, but 3+ years with an enterprise focus. It's a good spot. The things that needed to happen are really happening. Freedom of choice. A crucial characteristic of the enterprise Ethereum ecosystem is choice, said Adhara's Fora. It's very important whatever technology ends up being used is not controlled by a single software vendor, because that creates a huge strategic risk, Fora said. The choice of enterprise Ethereum clients widened considerably last year with the release of Hyperledger Basu, a high-profile cross-pollination between the two ecosystems, built by Consensus engineers, and designed from the ground up to incorporate the Ethereum mainnet. Ethereum's community was really keen to see this platform used, not just by anarchists and radicals and people who wanted to take down the banks, but by the banks themselves. A hat tip must go to the then EEA lead Ron Resnick, who worked tirelessly to broker a deal between Ethereum and Hyperledger, added Fora. In fact, a bridge between Ethereum and Hyperledger had been a long time coming. Before he became the executive director of Hyperledger, Brian Behlendorf recalls meeting Ethereum chief scientist Vitalik Buterin. Behlendorf, a leading figure in the open-source software movement, said Ethereum and its growing community reminded him of the culture of the Apache Software Foundation and its friendly approach to corporate use cases. I remember being fascinated by the idea of decentralization at the heart of architecture, and something much more interesting than just a cryptocurrency play, said Behlendorf. This was a programmatic network for building decentralized applications, and its community was really keen to see this platform used, not just by anarchists and radicals and people who wanted to take down the banks, but by the banks themselves. For his part, current EEA executive director Daniel C. Burnett said there is a ton of stuff to be excited about, flagging up consensus engineer John Wolpert's baseline protocol as an interesting enterprise project in 2020. More generally, Burnett pointed to the stability of Ethereum and the end of the frontier mindset of previous years. In the past couple of years, things are beginning to settle a bit, Burnett said. It's certainly not boring, but we're a little less of the Wild West. First mover, crypto traders greedy as Goldman warns on dollar. During a turbulent year when cryptocurrencies have outperformed just about every other major investment category, traders in digital asset markets are getting even greedier. Bitcoin, the oldest and largest cryptocurrency, sits at an 11-month high of around $11,000 after surging earlier this week. It's up 51% in 2020, nearly double the gains in gold, which generated enthusiasm in traditional markets this week when it rose to a record intraday high. Ether, the second-largest cryptocurrency, has jumped about 30% just in the past 7 days, a bigger gain than the Standard & Poor's 500 index mustered in all of 2019. So far in 2020, Ether is up 142%. A popular gauge of market sentiment known as the Crypto Fear and Greed Index has, in just 1 week, turned from fear to extreme greed. According to the Swedish cryptocurrency analysis firm Arcane Research, the market is now at its greediest in a year. Although Bitcoin has showed strength, Ethereum has been the real powerhouse of this bullish week in crypto, Arcane wrote Tuesday in a report. Ether is the native token of the Ethereum blockchain. Bitcoin's rally this week adds to the momentum witnessed recently across digital asset markets, which have grown rapidly in 2020 despite the tumult that has whipsawed traditional assets like stocks and bonds. For Bitcoin, this rally is driven largely by FOMO and a momentum play, Denis Vinokourov, head of research for cryptocurrency prime broker Bequant, said Tuesday in emailed comments. FOMO stands for fear of missing out. While Bitcoin has gained because of its perceived use as an inflation hedge, similar to gold, alternative cryptocurrencies like Ether have soared due to investor speculation that they might play an outsize role in the monetary systems of the future, or even serve as the building blocks for a new financial system. Ethereum has shown particularly strong gains, a rational response to its improving network fundamentals, according to a report from the cryptocurrency data firm Coinmetrics. Keith Tarbert, chair of the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, told CoinDesk's Nikhil Ashda in an interview published Tuesday he finds it fascinating how far the digital asset industry has come in the 11 years since Bitcoin's launch. What people are doing in the digital asset space is effectively building, within a decade or less, an entire economic system, Tarbert said. When you think about the idea that at some point a large part of our financial system could very well exist in blockchain format, that's also revolutionary. The devastating economic toll of the coronavirus has severely tested all markets this year, both in analog and digital finance. Investors of all manner are having to account for multitudinous and countervailing forces, from the deflationary impact of soaring unemployment, to the trillions of dollars of government and central bank stimulus, to the rapidly growing ranks of bankrupt companies, to the wild gyrations in foreign exchange rates. The Federal Reserve on Wednesday is expected to issue a statement at the conclusion of its two-day closed-door meeting, followed by a press conference with Chairman Jerome Powell. As highlighted in First Mover on Tuesday, policy markets aren't expected to take any major actions at the meeting, but Deutsche Bank strategist Jim Reid says the Fed may need to inject another $12 trillion into financial markets in the next few years to help the economy heal. The U.S. central bank has already expanded its balance sheet this year by about $3 trillion to roughly $7 trillion, fueling predictions that inflation could heat up once the economy starts to recover. The Fed is pivoting from stabilization to accommodation, Bank of America analysts wrote this week in a report. The focus will be on stage setting for future easing, which risks lower real rates and a weaker U.S. dollar. Fitch, the credit ratings firm, wrote this week that the coronavirus impact will weigh on economic growth for years to come. Goldman Sachs, the Wall Street heavyweight, warned Tuesday that U.S. policy is triggering currency debasement fears that could jeopardize the dollar's role as the world's reserve currency. But as is always the case, the implications aren't clear-cut. The Wells Fargo Investment Institute, which conducts financial markets analysis on behalf of the third biggest U.S. bank, predicted Tuesday that former Vice President Joe Biden will defeat President Donald Trump in November's election, with Democrats also winning control of both chambers of Congress. Such an outcome that could lead to more spending programs to potentially stimulate the economy. Paul Christopher, head of global market strategy for the Wells Fargo unit, told First Mover in emailed comments that inflation is very unlikely to mount a recovery, due to the sluggishness of the economic recovery. While many analysts focus on the rising supply of dollars, the demand for cash in spending is very likely to remain subdued. In such an environment, we believe inflation will fail to gain traction in the coming 2 years, or longer, Christopher said. To Coinmetrics, just the increased uncertainty might provide support for crypto bulls who think higher inflation will eventually appear. The coronavirus and the monetary and fiscal response have increased the uncertainty in the future path of monetary policy, inflation, and growth, all of which are supportive to Bitcoin, the firm wrote. Greed begets more greed. And based on the track record so far this year in digital asset markets, greedy crypto traders haven't been disappointed. Trend: the Bitcoin market is looking indecisive after witnessing solid two-way business on Tuesday. The leading cryptocurrency by market value clocked a high and low of $11,263 and $10,580 yesterday, before ending the day with a 1% drop at $10,940. Essentially, Bitcoin charted a spinning top candle, which represents marginal gains or losses on the day following two-way price action. The spinning top is widely considered a sign of indecision in the marketplace, with neither bulls or bears being in a commanding position. It also validates the overbought or above 70 reading seen on the 14-day relative strength index. In such situations, seasoned technical traders often wait on the sidelines till a strong directional move emerges. So far, Bitcoin has not shown any signs of directional strength. Although the cryptocurrency is flashing green near $11,030 at press time, it is still trading well within Tuesday's price range. Acceptance above Tuesday's high of $11,263 would revive the bullish bias put forward by Monday's high volume break above the February high of $10,500 and expose resistance at $12,000. Alternatively, a high volume move below $10,500 would invalidate Monday's bullish breakout. Exchange flows suggests the latest price breakout is here to stay, as does increased institutional participation. As such, a sustained move below $10,500 looks unlikely. "605 days later, how our coins got the SEC go-ahead as an Ethereum-traded treasuries fund. Convincing the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, SEC, that the Ethereum blockchain is an acceptable medium to store regulated investment funds was no easy task for Mason Borda of Tokensoft. The CEO of this Bay Area tokenization firm spent over 2 years crusading for a peer-to-peer tradable fund. Borda developed compliance-appeasing token standards, hired regulatory veterans to lead his transfer agent subsidiaries and even moved Tokensoft into the same San Francisco high-rise as the SEC's West Coast Enforcement Wing, albeit on a different floor. The effort paid off earlier this month. In early July, the SEC granted a notice of effectiveness to R-Coin, a cryptographically traded U.S. Treasury fund pursued by digital asset manager Aka Labs and designed by Tokensoft. It's the first Ethereum blockchain-native investment fund registered under the Investment Company Act of 1940, a so-called 40 Act fund. R-Coin's registration marks a shift in the regulator's tolerance for public blockchain investment vehicles, Borda said. He and Aka's CEO Rain Steinberg both said R-Coin's could light the way for future offerings with similarly decentralized structures. But regulatory filings capture just how hard-fought first that victory was. Long road. Aka signaled its earliest interest in offering a U.S. Treasury fund in an SEC filing from November 2018. Over the next 605 days, it filed volleys of prospectus amendments as nearly 10 different evolutions of what would eventually become R-Coins repeatedly hit a regulatory wall. Steinberg said there was no guarantee his firm's costly regulatory campaign would ultimately prevail. Tokensoft signed on as Aka's tokenization specialist in July 2019, Borda told CoinDesk. Even then, a full year passed before R-Coin finally cleared that regulatory wall. This took a lot of backchanneling with the SEC, Borda said. 10 floors apart. Borda said one benefit of running a compliance-focused tokenization firm from his high-rise in San Francisco's financial district is that SEC regulators asking questions about his proposals are just an elevator ride away. There was a case where I received a call the night before to do a presentation in the morning because the crypto czar was in town, Borda said, explaining office proximity. Tokensoft is on floor 38, the SEC is on floor 28, made meetings a lot more accessible. That can be handy when meeting topics are as potentially contentious and fraught as the marriage of public blockchains and regulated investment vehicles. The SEC has been reticent to approve crypto-tied proposals before, perhaps most visibly in its ongoing denial of a Bitcoin ETF. The particulars behind one crypto project's failure before the SEC and another's success are not interchangeable. For example, R-Coins do not represent an investment in the Ethereum blockchain. Only a product, U.S. Treasuries, whose vehicle is traded on that blockchain. But Borda said a major obstacle in pushing through a tokenized 40 Act fund were regulators' misconceptions of how crypto markets function. There were a lot of preconceived notions just based on how the crypto space operates that we had to overcome, that these tokens are freely tradable, that there's no way to control them, Borda said. He said regulators thought these securities worked like Bitcoin. He made clear to CoinDesk that they don't. The SEC declined a request for comment. Restricted transfers. Borda said Tokensoft and Aka had to prove R-Coin's blockchain backend was far more restrictive, regulatable and, well, permissioned than the permissionless Ethereum mainchain this fund's smart contract lives atop. Ethereum is the leading smart contract platform in the world. Unlike the vast majority of Ethereum tokens and also completely dissimilar to Bitcoin and most every other crypto asset, R-Coins cannot just jump around from wallet to wallet, Borda said. Two critical functions are executed before a transfer prevents R-Coins from flying freely between wallets, detect transfer restriction and message for transfer restriction. They comprise the core of the ERC-1404 standard. A whitelist-focused derivation of the ubiquitous ERC-20 token standard. Tokensoft spearheaded development of the open-source ERC-1404 with the express purpose of creating a token standard that could pass regulators' muster. Its outcome, unveiled in September 2018, restricts token activity like peer-to-peer transfers and trading during lockup periods, among other concerns. Though these caveats seemingly run counter to the permissionless, borderless and stateless ideals of some corners of crypto Twitter, Borda said they're essential for working inside regulators' demands and even workable within the idealists' framework. It is possible to build a token on a public blockchain and have it follow the most aggressive standards in the world, he said. R-Coins accomplishes this by checking intended recipients against a whitelist maintained by the fund's transfer agent, Tokensoft subsidiary DTAC LLC, at the start of any transfer. Only investors who have passed AML and KYC protocols, and whose wallet addresses therefore appear on the whitelist, will receive their R-Coin. Non-whitelisted addresses receive nothing, Borda said. The transfer simply won't go through. The cool thing about having this on a blockchain is you can now prevent unauthorized transfers. The smart contract will just reject it, Borda said. Appealing to Akka. Akka CEO Steinberg said his firm tapped Tokensoft only after considering at least 8 different tokenization tech providers. Steinberg said the only thing clear to Akka, a digital assets investment management firm, was that it didn't want to build that solution in-house. Though Steinberg admitted Akka could have programmatically restricted smart contract transfers without ERC-1404, he said that's kind of reinventing the wheel that already exists for something like this. Specialists are most likely going to do that better and come up with novel solutions like a standard than you will in building it yourself, he said. Steinberg sees this as a key value of utilizing standards like ERC-1404. His firm has now demonstrated that the SEC is comfortable granting effectiveness to a 40-Act investment vehicle that runs on ERC-1404. Our coins proving the concept may make what Steinberg described as the expensive, expansive and time-consuming procedure of bringing any investment product, and especially blockchain-based ones, past the SEC a little bit easier. He noted that getting any product on the regulated market is never a sure thing, and recalled how the vast majority of people he spoke to after Arcoin's green light were shocked that the historically reticent SEC had allowed Arcoins to register. The goal of Akka is to become a multi-product asset manager with multiple different wrappers like this, he said. Future groundwork. Borda chalked Tokensoft and Arca's success in registering Arcoins to a confluence of compliance and structural factors. One major one was his tapping former SEC and CFTC regulator Alex Levine to head the legal team for Tokensoft's affiliate transfer agent DTAC LLC. Borda is even more bullish about ERC-1404 and the future of token-based securities in the 40-Act fund mode, especially its potential appeal to regulators, who could use the built-in transfer restrictions of smart contracts to their benefit. They won't ever have to worry about unapproved transfers or bearer instruments falling into the wrong hands. Companies could also catch that upside, he said. This should prove to the companies out there that there is a path to have better compliance. This concludes our edition for today. We want to thank again PayCademy, the first business school to learn payments and fintech, for their support. You can find more information on their website at paycademy.com. We hope you enjoyed it and see you tomorrow for our next edition.